The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From the Knapsack File Studios in Studio City, California, it's the best part of the San Fernando Valley. If you ask me, I'm Ken Knapsack, and this is Life Ranked on the Knapsack Files podcast feed. It is the new show, the new addition to the lineup in 2017, and you guys have been so supportive. As always, you can hashtag Life Ranked to join the conversation before or after or while you're listening. This is a live-to-tape broadcast. Maybe one day we'll be live and we can interact with our lists. But I have a great one today. I'm looking forward to this one. I have got a guest that I am introducing to the Knapsack Files audience, and it is long overdue that you guys meet him. In fact, I was going to bring him into the Knapsack Files podcast feed in 2016 or even 2015, and then my feed went cold, and this poor man was on the outside looking in going, please let me in. I want to talk. I have things to say. That is not what he sounds like. But anyways, he is a good friend of mine. He is a... Well, according to his Twitter page, he's a director, he's a filmmaker, and a sex god. We're going to ask for some kind of proof, some kind of document behind that, but he's also a good friend of mine from over at Defy Media. When I was working at Screen Junkies, I'd have to ask this guy for favors every day because he was in control of a lot of the equipment there, and I couldn't get things done without this expert's advice and attention to detail. It is Joey Kramer. Joey, welcome to the Knapsack Files.
I'm just glad to be here, Ken. It's been a while since I've really got a chance to hang out with you, and yeah. I'm excited to just be talking about life right now.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's kind of how modern life works in this town. We all have things, so it's like, you and I have been trying to hang out, get a drink like gentlemen, but it's like, well, we might as well be productive, and let's get on a podcast together.
Exactly.
Podcasting is the new conversations.
Well, with you and me, it seems like that could be the case all the time.
Yeah, you are a interesting guy. You have a lot of unique perspectives, and I would love stopping by your office at Defy. I'd have a request. Hey, Joey, can I rent that battery pack for tomorrow? There, I got to shoot. Andy Signore needs this tripod. Can we get this tripod? And you know, and then you just kind of pull a string with you, just like, "Hey, Joey, how you doing?" And I'd get 20 minutes of the best, most interesting conversation. You were one of my highlights. You were one of the reasons I was sad to leave. And plus, you were one of the only people there who weren't afraid to give me a good morning hug.
Hey, well, you know, I am a hugger in general. Yeah. It's kind of become a thing around the office.
Yeah.
I've noticed that there are certain people that I that do not like hugs, and it's not like...
And you have to find that out.
Yeah.
We don't hear the Knapsack Files recommend you just go hugging everyone in the studio.
No, definitely not. You know, you have to ask for it and just kind of be like, all right, yeah. you're open to the possibility of a hug. And... You know, not everybody is, but it's a great way to start a day. You know?
It's a great way. And then generally every time we're busy at times, but if I'd see you in the hallway, put my hand up, you putting your hand up, we give a nice high five.
Oh, yeah. That tradition continues, Ken, and I am glad that you were a part of it.
Who's got that honor now?
Okay, consistently, I would have to say... It's kind of like the Warp Zone. Those guys.
The Warp Zone guys?
Yeah, they are always there with a good high five for me.
Yeah. Okay, Davis, Schroeder, they're just walking around giving you high fives, or is it other people on the team?
It's kind of all of them, but Davis is my go-to hug guy now that you're gone.
Okay, I like that. But my TV Fights producer replacement, Billy Patterson, not hugging or high-fiving?
You know, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I'm not even sure who that is.
Billy sticks to himself. He goes over to that studio with JT, and he doesn't leave. And I'm going to give Billy some crap, and I'm going to make sure he starts high-fiving you.
Yeah, I bet I've seen him. Like, I see everybody there.
Sure.
It's just a matter of, have I talked to them?
Does JTE give you a hug or a high-five?
High-fives, yes. I don't know, I've probably hugged him once.
I don't know if JT's a hugger.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, you know? But it doesn't mean that he isn't. It just means that I haven't really gone after it too much.
So, guys, today, as you can tell already, Joey's a great guy. And you've got a great new podcast that has begun. It is Joey's Guide to a Happy Life. It's been going here for a little bit now, right? How are you doing with that?
You know, we're still in the process of getting everything posted and just getting everything created.
Okay.
But we've kind of hammered out where we're going to go with it, what the plan is.
Right.
just the general structure is what we've been focused on, but we do have one recorded and ready to go.
Cool.
But I want to get at least five fully recorded and like edited down before we go live, just so that people have a little bit of a backlog, and so that I can feel confident enough that we can produce another one before people get burnt out on everything.
That is a good strategy. That is how I launched the Knapsack Files. I had about four or five episodes ready to go.
I'm not alone.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But I'm looking forward to hearing what you have. It's Joey's Guide to a Happy Life. You can look for that, and we'll put it in the description of this episode. But Joey, enough's enough here. I brought you in for Life Ranked is where a special guest comes into the studio with a topic close to their heart or something I feel they'd be an expert on or have a good opinion of, and they bring in a five list. We'll go over that list 5-1, and we'll dive on in. And I kind of handpicked this topic. I threw it out to you to see how you felt about it, and you took to it. You with gusto. You're like, yep, this sounds good. I know right now. I don't know your list, and you're feeling you changed some numbers around. I'm so curious to what you got going on. But it is Life Rank today is the top five reason to try dating apps, whether it be Hinge or Bumble or Tinder, or Grindr, the granddad of them all. There's so many. The dating has become social media. Dating has become a swipe left or a swipe right. And for someone like me who doesn't date much, number one, and two is kind of always would have done it in a classic sense or has done it in a classic sense. I've been on these things from time to time. Mm-hmm. I've swiped right. I've swiped left like the rest of them. And it is a scary universe. But you, sir, When you're treated to a follow on Twitter, when you follow Joey at Razor Crank on Twitter, you're always got some dates going on, and you're always and you're not in like a braggadocious. You're like, got a date tonight, swipe right, made a match, we're gonna go try something. And I'm fascinated because and there's times where you're like, well, that one didn't go well, but you're the next weekend I'd see you posting again, you're heading back out. So I'm so curious. You seem to have found an avenue to have some fun, fulfilling, and sometimes trying dates, and that's how you learn and that's how you grow. So that is today's topic. If you're up for it, Joey, top five reasons to try dating apps. Are you ready, sir?
I am. I guess I want to just start with number five.
Number five. Dive on in, sir.
Number five.
Yeah.
It is stupidly easy. When I say that, yes, it is just the barrier for entry is so minimal.
Right.
You know, if you use something like Tinder, and I think, if I remember correctly, Hinge and Bumble, I do believe they all use about the same system where connect to your Facebook.
Right.
Which, of course, then puts your social media information out there in the world, and it's providing it to these sites. And let all of that go for a minute. You connect your Facebook to pretty much everything anyhow.
Yeah, don't worry. NSA's watching all of us anyways. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But yes, and so yes, get
you,
over that.
If
we're
you
on
get
it.
Over that, mm-hmm, initial issue for some people.
Yeah.
It just makes it so simple.
Yeah.
You know, it is. In order for it to be successful, though, it does require a decent amount of work.
Okay.
And I think that's the thing that is what trips a lot of people up.
Okay.
Because
you just boil it down into swipe right, swipe left, but you're saying, hey, it's stupidly easy, but it still takes some work beyond
exactly
just that.
I mean, it is so easy to get started. It is so easy to go through. But the fact of the matter is, in order for you to find your soulmate or find a date, you know, so, like soulmate, long ways off.
Those are two extremes, Jim.
Yeah. But if
either
you're not wrong. They are very, very different. But It takes time to meet new people make a connection.
Right.
You know? And so the more people that you swipe right on, you know, the better a chance you have of having a connection with that person on social media.
Right.
And that's just kind of the way it generally is in life.
You in know, life.
The more people you ask out, the more chances are that you're
shotgun
going.
Shotgun blast across the bow here.
Exactly. And,
boom.
And that's
you
the,
might hit one.
Yeah. And so that's a combination of like the good and the bad of dating apps.
Yeah.
It's simply that you need to spend a decent amount of time on it.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, like let's say you spend an hour, which is a long
hour. That's a long time.
It is a long time to spend swiping on your phone. there's no question. That is a long period of time. But how much time would you have spent in a bar on a Friday night trying to just get up the nerve to go ask somebody out.
Right.
You know, it takes an hour minimum for a lot of people to get inebriated enough to even calm down.
Oh, that's a good point.
To consider going out to talk to one of the people across the bar.
And you're not even counting, like, I was like travel, getting dressed, showering.
So,
maybe,
like, you know,
maybe taking a shower.
All in, let's say you get there at 10.
Okay.
You ask somebody, or you start talking to somebody around midnight.
Because you're not even drunk enough till 11:30.
Exactly. And then maybe by the end of the night, you ask for their phone number. Like that. So you spent an entire night talking to one person.
One person.
And that may or may not work out. Yeah. And with Tinder, which is the one that I've had the most success with.
Okay. I was going to ask you that, but yeah that's your leader.
That one worked out fairly well for me. I don't know exactly why. I think it's just the – probably because the more people use it, I think is a big part of it.
It's a bigger pond to play in. So, again, stupidly easy because you're so right. If you're one of those people like, I can't meet anyone, well, through this – It's simple. They're all in front of you.
Exactly.
And it's all GPS based, satellite based. You're generally going to be people around you or who are active, right?
That's another huge factor too. Is with Tinder specifically, I guess you both have to match each other. That's the general thing for the dating apps that I've used.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same for all of them, but the ones I've used, it requires a mutual match to contact somebody. And so it has to be somebody who has at least seen your profile and has swiped right on and who's made that connection.
Right.
And so, you may have swiped right on, you know, like 20 people, but if they're not actively using it, they'll have never seen your profile and it'll never happen.
Right. Which, might be one of my – because, again, I don't use these much. The only one I still have, technically – I think I'm still signed up for Tinder. It's not on my phone, but I have that one Bumble, which is a little different. I had that on a while ago and I checked back in and there was a match from a long time ago that was just sitting there. This poor woman, hey, how are you? And a blank from me for months. And she's probably an asshole, but I'm not active on it. I'm not doing that. So I get what you're saying. You kind of get what you put into it then.
Exactly. Definitely. Mm-hmm. The more effort you put in, the more chances are that you're going to be able to go out on a date with somebody.
Right.
And you know, that's the end goal for Tinder is, just or for dating apps in general, is if you're not on it to actually physically go out on a date with somebody, then what's the point of being on it?
Right, you know? Right.
And so
I'm the jerk here. I understand.
Yeah. And so
you didn't see because it's an audio podcast. Joey just kind of nodded at me like, you're messing up the system, dude.
Well, exactly. You know, it's. If you're not active, it's just like when you go out to a bar or go to any event, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you go and hit on somebody who's not out there to be dating, you know, it's completely ineffective.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Tinder and other apps tend to just narrow that down for you for the most part. You know, it gives you more of a chance to interact with somebody who actually wants to go out on a date.
Cards are on the table, so to speak.
Exactly.
Right? You don't have to wade through the waters. At a bar, at a social setting, at a party, or something like that. This is what I'm – in theory, unless you're a jerk like me, in theory, you're on – your profile shows up because you are open to the idea of getting a raspberry phosphate with me.
Exactly. And you're within like 10 square miles of where I happen to be right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can definitely change that setting. And after I got rid of my car, I got really lazy about trying to go see people.
Sure.
So I just set it to like 3 miles. it turns out when you live in Hollywood, there's still a lot of
still
people.
A lot. But
there's
Joey,
a lot of people
your soulmate
there.
Could be 4 miles away.
Well, it's true, but they're not my soulmate if I never meet them.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to look at it. So that's number five. It is stupidly easy.
Yeah. It is incredibly easy.
Incredibly easy. Number four.
Number four is that in my personal experience, I'm a bit of an extrovert, which is probably how we became friends in the first place.
Because I'm an introvert, and you were just like, hey, how you doing?
How's it going, man?
We're
going
to be friends. You were the first person at Defy other than my immediate co-workers at Screen Junkies that I struck up any kind of friendship with.
Well, I feel all good about myself. Yeah. I'm just blushing a little bit.
You should.
But as a bit of an extrovert, I enjoy meeting people. That is a thing that I like to do.
Which seems like to be a key thing to being a good dater.
Exactly. I've said exactly way too many times. There's like a drinking game built into myself when I re-listen to this about how many times I said that. But you are correct.
Yeah, yeah.
That in order to enjoy just going out on dates, you have to be more of an extrovert. You have to be.
You got me so excited, I'm hitting my own mic.
You have to kind of be the one the one pushing it.
Okay.
Because it's really. Or if you're not the one pushing it, you have to find somebody else who is.
Right.
You know, you both can't be introverts trying to communicate on social media and get a date going. Somebody has to move it forward.
Right.
And that tends to be me. And for a lot of the dating apps, unlike Bumble, which is kind of reversed, it's more often than not the guy sends the first message.
Right.
Which tends to just be socially how it is in the United States as well, when just asking out.
From the classic sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In a heterosexual relationship, it tends to be that the guy will be the one who makes the first move.
Right.
And it seems to be the same. It seems to hold fairly true on dating apps thus far.
Right.
Almost, not always, but almost every time when I've gotten a message from a lady first, it's been a bot or some kind of spam.
It's like your first clue that something's wrong.
Exactly. It's like, oh, this could be good, or it's just a waste of time.
Hi, Joey. Meet me at LiveCam.
There's such obscure websites, too. It's just like I've never heard of this thing. The fact that it's not anything remotely entrenched in my brain makes it just like, why? What?
Right.
But they put out, they try. They try at least probably like 5 or 6 messages before they completely give up.
Before the bot goes away.
Anyhow, back to number 4, which is meeting and interacting with new people is generally a good thing.
Okay.
In my experience.
Sure.
Now, you can always have a bad date. That's always possible.
Sure.
And I've had some less than good ones.
Yeah.
But it opens you up to this whole new world, because as far as most of the dating apps are concerned, unless you go to some of like the higher end ones, more like Match.com or something like that, which has more of a profile based structure.
Right, right. You have to get through some hoops to get through that.
Exactly.
eHarmony, you answer like 400 questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then they try to match you with people who have similar interests to you.
Right.
Which is, I think, is a very good thing if you're interested in going out on, or maybe leading more towards a relationship.
Sure.
Or even just going out with the same person multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem with that if that ends up happening. It's just through dating apps, you never know what you're going to get. It is very much like just talking to, in a way, random strangers around you. And it's fascinating.
Yeah.
You cast a really wide net in an area and you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to respond?
Who's around you? Who's there? And for you, dating seems to be it's initially could be it's you're interviewing for a future romantic possibility. And other times I've seen you post about this, like, oh, I gained a new friend tonight.
Exactly, and I did it again. but that's correct. You have no idea where it's going to go.
Right.
And you don't have that at any point in any kind of interaction. You just simply know that this is a person that I want to talk to.
Right.
When it comes to dating apps, this is a person that I'm attracted to and would like to talk to. So there's the implication that that's where this is going, which does solve a lot of problems for certain people who have a difficult time approaching a date, you know.
This is where my ears perk up, because I'm horrible at this.
Because it's a lot of people have a really difficult time gauging interest on both sides. And that's
one of
the things about dating apps that is a major advantage is simply that both people are most likely on there to go out on a date. Like, to just become friends.
I'm thinking of it as someone who's, because I struggle with that. One of the reasons I struggle is I'm just going to assume you don't like me. If you're a female, I'm interested in females. That's the box I check. So I am going to I meet one and I'll be like, well, that was a nice person who never wants to be with me. And so if I was to approach a dating app with a little bit more gusto, it would be me. I should mentally accept the fact that, oh, they're already here. They've entered the room for this possibility.
Exactly. And because of that, you have the ability to kind of relieve yourself of that anxiety or that mentality.
Oh, no. That's deeper than I thought, Joey. This list is good. This is good stuff, Joey.
I'm working on it. That's what number 3 is that it is good practice for interacting with people in your daily life or asking people out in person. Is that you eventually...
Look at you. I like that curveball.
You eventually get used to being able to just be more direct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that is the, in my experience, the best approach with dating apps is just to, after a brief conversation, or sometimes just I get really gutsy and just ask them out immediately.
Right then and there, right.
Which, that has mixed responses. Mm-hmm, but at least when you put it out there immediately, there's no dancing around the subject.
Right.
It's just like, hey, I definitely want to go out on a date with you.
Right.
Like, that's the whole point here.
There's no confusion, no gray areas.
Exactly.
You know, my problem is like 5 years into a friendship, I'm like, hey, I love you. Like, it's not clear.
Yeah, that one's a little tricky.
That's a different show for sure, but yeah, it's tricky. What you're saying is, hey, you know from the reference start, but what I like about this number three that you've got here is you're saying, yeah, that you've got this future tech-driven dating, but you can then use it to force yourself to learn a skill or enhance a skill to function more in a regular life. Then maybe I might be asking someone out at a party because I've been so used to it from an app.
Definitely.
That's smart, Joey.
And I've experienced that in my own life now, okay. Is that once I got over the fact that you don't know what people are bringing to the table.
Right.
So the only way that other people are going to know what your interests are, what you want, is by being direct about it.
Right.
There was this one time at an event. Oh, my God. I'm not going to be able to remember what it's called, and that's going to drive me insane.
It's all right.
But it was a comedy event, and there was just a whole bunch of people around me, and I just kind of got isolated.
Right.
And started thinking, man, nobody here wants to talk to me. Mm. You know, I'm having a really bad time.
You're in your head.
You just get in there, and it just keeps going around and around. Right, and then after about 10 minutes of just driving myself insane, it occurred to me very simply and very plainly, just getting punched in the face, like, hey, nobody's talking to you because you're not talking to anybody.
It's an introvert's nightmare to realize that truth.
And it was just, it's such a painfully obvious thing.
Yes, it is. Yes.
There's no way around it. And that's what I came to realize with dating through dating apps is the same thing. You're not going out on dates because you're not asking people out on dates.
Right.
There's just no way around it. That is exactly why it's not happening.
You're making it very hard for me to justify my loneliness, Joey. Because it's all on my side. No one likes me because I don't leave my room.
That would make it difficult. Yeah. But with a dating app, you could get there.
I don't need to even leave my room.
Exactly. If you've got Wi-Fi, you can pull this off.
Got a good data plan. You could be on the road to romantic success. So that is number three. Say it again.
That was number three. It's good practice for interacting with people in your daily life or asking people out in person.
I like that. I like the practice aspect. Excuse me.
Number two. It's a great excuse to try something you would normally not do in your day-to-day life.
Okay.
I'm
listening.
When I go out on a date off of a dating app specifically, or any date in general, really.
Yeah.
Because you don't know them particularly well in most situations, you know, it's someone you've initially asked out.
Yeah.
It's a little different when it's someone you've known for a while. But in the very beginning, for a lot of dates, people want to go to dinner or something and get to know them, which is fine. That's not a bad strategy. But for me, I don't want to go out on a date and have it entirely contingent on how well we interact.
Mm.
Because that can set it up for failure. Because if you guys don't really click, you might not have a good time, and you'll feel as if you've wasted the whole evening. And by wasting the whole evening and getting into your own head about it, you're less likely to go out on another date.
Right.
So I prefer to choose something that I haven't done before. Or if you're going to go to a restaurant you've never been to before.
This is fascinating stuff here.
Yeah, one of the my favorite ones that I did was we went bouldering, which is a thing that I didn't even know was an event.
Familiar with that.
Well, it's rock climbing indoors, except you don't have harnesses. So yeah, so the ceiling isn't nearly as high.
Okay.
But the floor is like 4 feet deep of padding.
Oh, nice.
So it's like falling onto kind of like a mat, you know, like a enhanced wrestling mat, basically.
Yeah, it's like a calculated risk. You're going to fall, you might fall, but you're going to be okay.
Very much
which
so.
Which is really what love is about, Joey.
Look at that, Ken. Turn a phrase, my friend. But doing events like that or going ice skating in, Pershing Square?
Okay.
Or, you know, even just going to see a movie that you haven't seen before, although a movie tends to be a pretty bad first date
idea. It is a tough one. Yeah, you're not talking.
It's not a very good environment to get to know somebody. But if you're going out and doing something active and something new, then you – and if they haven't done that before, it tends to be just a really good bonding experience where you can now communicate about how – this is going for you.
Oh my God, Joey, you're blowing my mind with how deep and wonderful you get. You are creating. The reason, like, I've never liked the prospect of dating is it's a job interview with a stranger, and that's stressful, and I'm an introvert, and all that kind of stuff. But you've created this thing where now, like you just said, you are bonding over a shared new experience. That is amazing, Joey. You need to write a book.
Well, I'm glad my advice is ringing true, or at least, ringing some bells.
Yeah.
Because a big part of my experiences has just been the more that I've done it, the more that I've gotten better at dates.
Yeah.
You know, that it is a difficult thing to get good at because, like you just described, it can always feel like a job interview. A date with someone from a dating app is very much like date 0.5. It's not even the first date. If you met somebody in person, even just meeting them in a bar or in a club or at some kind of party or friends event, you have that in common already.
Right.
You both independently went to this same place,
probably
for similar reasons. If you went to see a band that was performing there, you both probably liked the band. You went to see a comic, you both probably liked that comedian. You have some similar shared interests. Mm-hmm. And with the way that a lot of the mobile dating apps are set up, you don't really have that for the most part. You know, and you definitely didn't have any initial interaction that showcases that you even have any kind of chemistry, which is a very fun thing to experience. It can be a great date or a great person, but you might not have any chemistry at all. Whereas if you've met them in person at least one time, you know that you can carry on a conversation with that person.
Right.
Or you know that there's some kind of electricity in the air where you just
feel
you have this feeling that things are going to go better and that you just really vibe with each other.
Right.
And on a half first date, that's really difficult. So you want to do everything you can to make that a more likely situation.
Right.
And I feel that picking active events and new events is a really good way to do that.
And
if the date goes terribly, you still might have found something that you enjoy separately from the date.
And then you find – so you find that it's just easier to narrow in on this stuff with the apps, or you just have these pre-conversations? How is that different from just regular dating? I mean, in some ways it's not. It is the same. But it's like you just find you're cutting through the chuff. If you're at a party and you have to like get through layers of – you want to go hang gliding – 10 minutes on a conversation. Now you're on an app, you just got it right away. Is that what you kind of feel here?
It's definitely a part of it.
Okay.
I would say the biggest thing is a lot of people, more people, it's like that a saying when it comes to wild animals, right? That they're more scared of you than you are of them.
Right.
And it tends to be that thing with just social interactions in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are both... If you're both looking at each other from across the room or you're interested in each other, there's a significant amount of anxiety involved.
Sure.
And a dating app tends to take a lot of that out. You're only putting yourself on the line as far as you want to.
Right.
You don't have that barrier that you have to get through because you're already, like we said earlier, at that same page of we are going on this date.
Right.
Like, or at least we're both interested in each other. It's just like the advantage that you have in high school or college or when a friend sets you up. You know, you tell your friend, hey, your roommate is beautiful and I would love to go on a date with her sometime. It can even just be in passing.
Sure.
And then your friend is like just looks into it for you. Hey, you like this friend of mine? Hey. Like, how do you think of this person?
Check some boxes. Yeah.
And then you find out, oh, man, we're both interested in each other.
Yeah.
Just having that moment amongst your friends or family or any situation that comes up gives you that kind of confidence going in.
Right.
Which then allows you more often than not to be yourself.
Gotcha.
If you're able to be yourself, then you're more likely to not necessarily have a successful date because you have no idea how well you actually are going to match,
right.
But you'll be more confident with the outcome.
Right.
Because if you are able to actually be yourself, then even if it doesn't go well, you're able to realize, well, that's because we didn't match, not because of something that I did.
Right. Okay.
And so just setting yourself up with as many advantages as you can on your own mental side.
You're hedging a bet here.
Is the best way to go.
Yeah.
And dating apps give you that opportunity because you both had to swipe right on each other. You both had to continue the conversation.
There was something there in the beginning. There's something, a twinkle in your eye on that profile picture that drew you to her and her to you, and you're starting from that base. I get it. That's awesome. You're swiping right. That's a start. There's something there. And then you can go hang gliding, right?
Exactly.
I don't know why I want to go hang gliding on dates. It doesn't seem like a good date idea.
It could be fantastic, though. that's one of those things that I haven't ever been hang gliding. That should be one of my next dates.
That seems like that should be that. I want to report next time.
And that's another thing, too, is if somebody agrees to go hang gliding.
Sure.
That's already a really good sign because simply.
Yeah.
They are willing to put themselves that far out there.
Right.
You know. And if you're actually willing to do that as well, that's a key thing. You can't say that this is something you want to do.
I wouldn't be hang gliding.
It'd be something later on. You know, you guys have worked to that point. Maybe sixth date.
So recap, Joey. Read off your first four lists.
All right.
This is the top five reasons to try a dating app.
It is stupidly easy.
Stupidly easy. It's right there in front of you.
Meeting new people is usually and generally a good thing.
Right.
It is good practice for interacting with people in your daily life or transitioning to asking someone out in
person. I love that one.
It's a great excuse to try something you normally wouldn't do.
Okay.
And then number one for me is that putting yourself totally out there with no real consequences on your daily life is a good way to figure out who you are.
Oh, wow.
Who people think you are, and who you want to be seen as.
Wow.
It's a pretty deep one, but
I get it, but take me through it. That is deep.
The big thing is, on a dating app, you get to project who you want to be.
Sure.
Or who you think other people want you to be.
Okay.
And then when you actually get there, you tend to be able to find out rather quickly if that's who people actually think you are.
Wow.
If you don't present as if the person you are in your profile, they know rather quickly, and it's the same thing in reverse.
Yeah.
You are very aware that they are not who they've said they are.
Right.
Rather immediately. It doesn't take long for that to be figured out.
So if, like, I put on a secret agent, they're going to find out pretty damn quick I ain't no secret agent.
Unless you are incredibly good at lying.
True, which might make me a good secret agent.
So it's very possible.
Right, but I get it. So yeah, it's all about what you're putting in that profile. Like social media, we put our best life forward. All our Instagram pictures are filtered and pretty. But we get to choose that, and then correct me if I'm wrong, then you're putting yourself out there as that persona or that person, or, you know, not fake, just what you want to be seen as, and then they're attracted to that. And if you don't deliver to that expectation, you know. And then it's like, well, then who was I trying to be?
It's a very good reality check on the difference between who you want to be and who you actually are. They can be very, very different. You don't know until you get an outside perspective because your closest friends don't tend to tell you.
Sure.
You know, well, your closest friends will hopefully tell you, but anyone that's not in that top three best friends scenario, they don't recognize what you're trying to be and who you are and how far you are from your actual goals.
Right.
And so getting that completely objective perspective is a very good reality check, as I said, a good moment to just step back and realize. Mm-hmm. And then along with that, you also have this ability to kind of test the waters of who you want to be. Is this the person that I really want to continue being?
Right.
Or do I want to try something different? Because meeting someone on a dating app, unless there are mutual connections and other things, which they show up on there.
Sometimes,
oftentimes, especially in Los Angeles, being as big of a city as it is, you meet people that you'll never meet again and you've never met before.
Right.
And so you get to be whoever you want to be. Who do you really want to be?
Who do you really want to be, kids?
Who is that person?
So you thought Tinder, folks, was just about getting some. You thought it was a cheap way to find sex or something. No, Joey's showing us a different side of life here. You're learning about yourself.
Very much so. There's no good reason to not,
right,
you know, take that information in.
Right.
The fascinating thing, too, is always when you get called out on something that, you
know, okay,
it never seems to be an aggressive thing as mm-hmm. much unless you like would dramatically look different from your profile pictures
sure.
something to that extent.
Yeah.
But you're trying to go a certain way and it becomes apparent that this isn't working. This chemistry is not working.
Right.
And then when you realize that that's also not who you want to be,
mm-hmm.
it's a fascinating moment. Of just being like, oh.
Do you have something offhand that you can remember where you were called out on something or you realized it? I mean, is there something to happen where you're like, well, you're right. That's not who I wanted to be. I am not a hang glider.
Oh, man. Off the top of my head, I really should have had a good one here.
That's
but
all right.
I'm blanking.
I'm digging deep and you're giving me wonderful things, but I totally get it. You have to, in other words, because we're so used to social media by now, especially if you're like me and you started on Friendster in 2002, we're so used to, again, putting the best face forward. But now when you put that to the test and it you are now locked in a date with one person, whoever you are, it needs to be that. So you have to really put some thought into who you are and what you're projecting. It's simple, basic psychology, but it is smart and it is heady and it is deep, Joey. This is what you think about in your office all day.
It is one of the many things that I end up thinking about. That's correct.
I love it.
Yeah, you have to project who you want to be and who you actually are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that comes across in every situation.
Right.
It is so apparent because people inherently are judgmental. It's mm-hmm, not a it's mm-hmm, not a mm-hmm. bad thing per se. It's just
the way it is.
It's just the way it is. You know, whenever somebody says just don't judge me, I immediately say, well, I'm going to. Like,
yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I tell them just point blank, this is going to happen.
Now we're there. Yeah.
I'm not going to hopefully change my opinion of you as a person, but depending on what you're going to say, like, right. I don't know what's coming up here. Like, did you murder somebody? Like,
right.
That's going to really change our relationship.
Right.
But there's no way that you don't make preconceived judgments about people. It's just the mm-hmm, way mm-hmm. it happens. But you have to be open to the fact that could be wrong. You know?
Right, right.
But when it comes to online dating, for example, or just, you know, flirtation in general, but specifically online dating, you only have that information. There's
right.
nothing else to go on. You know,
right.
what does it say in their profile? What do their pictures look like?
Mm-hmm.
This is the person they're presenting. So this is, you make the assumptions about it. You know, if you're dressed mm-hmm. a certain way, if you have a certain type of job, if you have a certain type of hairstyle,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the ones that is interesting for me is I have rather long hair at this point.
Sure you do. It's sexy.
Oh, well, thank
Full,
you.
Full, luscious locks.
But I am pretty much the opposite of like a hippie.
Yeah.
In so many ways. But depending on how I'm dressed the day, that is the persona that people
yeah.
automatically perceive. And so that hasn't led to too many problems with online dating, but just in my general interactions where people just give you a slightly different look or a different experience simply because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get to know you and it's like, oh, that's not who that person is
anyway.
Yeah, I think
that's fair. Just from getting to know you too. Yeah, you the long hair, I know you often would ride a bike to work and sometimes you have some, not funny clothes, but when I'm there's some, you know, you have some interesting fashion choices is what I'm trying to say.
That would be accurate. That is correct.
And so you put it together, you're like, hey, look at this freewheeling spiritual dude or something. Is he in the desert smoking peyote? What's this guy about? And then you're a bunch of things, but you're not what I thought you would be when I first met you.
And so then you have to force your the way that you perceive yourself
mm-hmm,
into
mm-hmm.
the world. And you need to make
okay.
sure that people are aware of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, meeting strangers is a really good way to find out how other people perceive you. You know, the people that you've known for so long are no longer objective viewers. You know, they know you. So everything
right.
you do fits in with the mold that they have of you.
Right.
But anyone coming out from the streets or from your phone, they have no idea.
No
All
idea.
They know is what you're presenting them with on that day.
You're a profile pic. and a line or two in a bio.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great experience to just have that interaction.
Have it there and getting deep. And folks, you have to decide, what do you want that two sentence bio to be in your life? That is deep, Joey.
This
is what I wanted from you.
Oh, good.
I didn't want funny stories about going to Chili's on dates. I wanted to know to what drives you, because I've watched this from afar for a year and a half working at Defy, just mesmerized and in awe of your ability to just be like, I'm going tonight to rock climb. I'm going to go in a ball pit for a date. We're going to go to Burger King and then jump in a ball pit because that's what I want to do. That's not a real world story. I'm just making that up. And to see the thought you put into it and what you're getting out of it, it's pretty impressive.
Well, I didn't think of it that way, but once again, you get a new perspective when you talk to people.
Joey, I'm going to swipe right. I'd be the luckiest man in the world if it for me. I'd swipe right on you. Joey, you came into the Knapsack Files Life Rank Studios, and you brought some great insight, and you turned what was what I thought might be just a fun little list about online dating troubles, you turned it into a life lesson, and that is what we do here at the Knapsack Files.
Well, I'm glad to have been a part of it. That's for sure.
You're in the fold now, man. You used to listen every day. You tell me, I like your show today. Well, now you're the one spitting out the advice. This is great.
It's fine. It's great to finally be a part of it. I think I also now support you on Patreon as well.
You do. I'll give you some money in return right now. Joey, I cannot thank you enough for coming on to Life Ranked. If you're out there listening and you've got some Tinder dating stories, if you learned something from Joey, you can go on to Twitter, use the hashtag Life Ranked, and follow Joey at Razor Crank, just like it sounds. Razor, like you shaved your face, and a crank, like you're cranking a car tire, and you're going to change that tire. Razor Crank, Joey Kramer, and follow me at Ken Apsock, and use that hashtag Life Rank, and tell Joey, you're right, Joey, I now know that I want to go hang gliding. And Joey, I know you're working as of this recording. You're working on your podcast, getting that out there. But that is something too that I want the people to listen to. It's Joey's Guide to a Happy Life, and you can hear already this guy's got an interesting take on how to go through life, the ups and downs. You're not this overly happy dude. You've got your downs. You got your down times. I go by the office, and you'd be a little down today.
If you follow my Twitter, I can't stop tweeting about it. So you will definitely get a good perspective into who I am most of the time.
Yeah, but you know how to make life happy, and that's why your podcast, Joey's Guide to a Happy Life, is out there. Check that out. You can, like I said, follow me at Ken Apsock. If you're on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review to the show. We're on Podomatic and Stitcher, and looking for other places as well in 2017. Joey mentioned it, so I will bring it up humbly. The Patreon page is still out there. You can support the Knapsack Files podcast feed as we continue to grow in 2017. You might be able to decide what you want a life rank to be about. That's one of the many perks out there as well. So until next time, for Joey, for all the girls you're going to take to that rock climbing thing from now on, and maybe one hang gliding, a lucky girl can hang glide with you. I'm Ken Knapsack. We will see you next time. That is Life Ranked.